Welcome to Mexican Crossing Lines with your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp
and Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And today, my show is titled Antifa Terrorists. Everyone's talking about the president tweeting out about, you know, passing a resolution that labels Antifa as terrorists, and we're going to get into it today on my show about that topic. But first, I wanted to thank folks for sending me the information, the links, and everything that pertains to this particular issue. Antifa for me and the research I've been doing of the mercenary activists that came to Standing Rock and persist within the leadership of Antifa and the Border Support Network has been a many, several years long chore. So I want to encourage folks to educate themselves like I plan to do even more on Antifa, and we will begin that process tonight. But first, I want to remind folks that we will be traveling to Tijuana next month. We definitely would love to have your support and donations for our travel fund. Remember that we are a nonprofit accountable to the federal government. We have a 501c3. You will have a tax deductible receipt for any donation you make to our station and our work. We want to bring you the news. Nobody else will. How can folks do that?
Well, you know, I have to thank people too. You know, it's a lot of information all in one day. It was like, I didn't know we were even going to be doing a show tonight, you know, and it's like, I was sitting back working on the website and stuff like that, and bang, we had to get all this stuff together. But thank you all who have been sending information. There's many ways to do it. Our email is one way, Facebook is another way, but if you go to Facebook, go to 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead. You can check us out there, or the People's Press Project, or Mexi-Can, or you can do email, duke@kpppfm.com and cindy@kpppfm.com. You can also tweet us at @media_ppp. And if you'd like to leave us a voice message on our voice message line, you can call 701-566-0917. And also to kpppfm.com. All the recent shows are on there. They're actually done this time by the time I got back from the last show. And those are all current on our website. You can go there and watch the YouTube uploads, which come from our YouTube channel, Duke1517. Please go there and subscribe to our YouTube channel, and that way you'll get notifications whenever we put a video up. After each one of these shows, I upload the videos in high definition, so people that don't have Facebook can actually watch them too. On our website, we also have the audio files, and many of them we use on our local on the air after we modify them for local airplay. And we appreciate people in the Fargo-Moorhead audience for listening to us. And all these shows that go out are done on Facebook Live, too. So also when you're on kpppfm.com, don't hesitate to go to the Donate tab and make a tax-deductible contribution. It's because of viewers and listeners like you that we even exist. That sort of support has carried us 3 years into our airing on locally and doing quite a bit of Facebook the past couple of years, and your support has made it so we can provide quality programming as the best we can do, and you're a partner with that, so thank you very much.
So everybody's been talking about Antifa lately, but they haven't really been around in American news and constantly being seen in protests until recently. In fact, it was when Trump got inaugurated that we actually saw this rise of Antifa. And, you know, I wanted to start off by talking about this post in the Border Support Network about the Yellow Vest movement. Now, obviously, these are two different things, right? Antifa, the Yellow Vest movement, they're two different things. But why is the Border Support Network, which was founded by an Antifa leader whose name is Evan K. Duke, why are they posting about the Yellow Vest movement and asking people to go and show up for their event, their July 31st immigration justice event? And what does Americans know about the Yellow Vest movement? In my opinion, I don't think we know a lot about the Yellow Vests, other than maybe they got Macron to back off, right? Mm-hmm. We know that when I asked Duke, what did you tell me, Duke? I said, what do you know about the Yellow Vest movement? What did you say about him?
Oh, the first thing I thought of is the Yellow Vest people. It was a bunch of people burning things and getting violent at rallies, stuff that was going on in France. That's stuff I saw. And then when I saw that people are trying to emulate the Yellow Vest stuff here, it's like that was my first impression. I haven't researched it thoroughly. I just know what I've seen on different news feeds and different things that were happening in France, and they just look like people that were pretty violent to me.
Well, I wanted us to learn a little bit more about them. I wanted first to show you their YouTube channel. They don't get a lot on there. Again, this is a relatively new phenomenon, so I understand that. But if you can see, it's pretty sparse. They seem to have a lot of anti-Anna Kasparian of the Young Turks videos and a lot of pro-Tulsi Gabbard videos.
I can see that too, you know, and I haven't actually been to their channel to check it out, but, you know, you're showing this. And usually when I research a YouTube channel, I'll go to all the tabs. I'll go to the About tab. I'll see how many people have subscribed to them. You know, and it says, I think 96 when you pick this up. So there's not a lot of subscribers. So it must. And also, you can also find on there, usually on YouTube, when they started the channel and when they first started uploading videos, if they have any of their own content, or if they have other content that, you know, they're just putting up and sharing their sorts of things. So, you know, just from a glance at this one, it looks a little sparse to me. You know, again, I haven't actually went to the channel. This is actually a screenshot of the channel, so I can't click on anything right now.
That's all the videos.
That's it?
That's all the videos. I screen captured the whole video page. Okay. And that was all of them. So, again, they don't have a lot of stuff on there. And this is obviously something that is being emulated now in the United States, because there is a Twitter account and a lot of social media, mostly all that I can tell, run by this guy, Obi Alfred. And this is from his Instagram account. And you can see that Obi Alfred is in a picture with Tulsi Gabbard.
Okay.
And look at this, Duke. He hashtags Tulsi 2020 POTUS 2020 election or de-election. It looks, oh no, election. 2020 yep. Election. Hashtag Bernie Sanders. And Tulsi Gabbard thanks him.
Oh, okay.
The real Tulsi Gabbard.
Hmm.
Right?
Yep.
So they're friends, and here is a couple of posts from the Yellow Vest Twitter account run by this dude that I just showed you, which includes a tweet at from Jordan Sheridan, formerly of the Young Turks and his own platform Truth Against the Machine. And we'll talk more about that in just a second. But it says, breaking, at AOC and at Rashida Tlaib voted for the $738 billion defense budget. First of all, I want to know, and they also tag the Yellow Vests America, tags Tulsi Gabbard and Rokano. First of all, I want to know, how come they're retweeting on the Yellow Vests somebody that was accused of gang raping their coworker?
Yeah, no kidding.
Did y'all forget over there at the Yellow Vest of American that Jordan Sheridan was accused by the woman he raped of having taken advantage of her, a coworker? I don't know how he has managed to survive that scandal, but he's now using a different name called Status Q, and apparently he's still close to the access that would give him an interview with Tulsi Gabbard. Here's from his Twitter account a little clip. Check it out, folks.
Things. Other candidates were kind of giving the lip service, but you were actually talking about your experience. What are you happy about this debate, and what would you have liked to discuss more?
Well, I think it's very telling.
Is it playing?
That the other candidates who are running for president are not focusing on the issue of the cost of war and the most important responsibility that a president has, which is to serve as commander.
Difficulty.
Well, that one was my fault.
Let's start that again.
Let's actually make it so you can see the video as well as hear it. So I'm going to do a restart. It's very short. It's only about 45 seconds. Just one moment, please.
Other candidates were kind of giving the lip service, but you were actually talking about your experience. What are you happy about this debate, and what would you have liked to discuss more?
Well, I think it's very telling that the other candidates who are running for president are not focusing on the issue of the cost of war and the most important responsibility that a president has, which is to serve as commander-in-chief. I think you saw tonight the dangerous consequences, as we've seen for too long, of what happens when you have a president who goes in, who lacks the experience and understanding and conviction on foreign policy. And our long history of...
There is a much longer interview with Tulsi Gabbard, and you can find that on Jordan Sheridan's YouTube video if you want to watch the whole thing. Not necessarily inclined to do that. Obviously, I don't think that Tulsi Gabbard has got a very good chance at being the president of anything.
Yeah.
But you know what I did notice?
What?
Her security team at Standing Rock was comprised of a lot of people that came with the veteran stand for Standing Rock and now founder of the Border Support Network, Evan K. Duke III, a self-titled anarchist and anti-fascist. Self-titled. That was one of her security detail people. That was one of the people that she brought near her, along with alleged rapist Jordan Sheridan. Because that's just how she do, apparently. But back to the yellow vest. Apparently they're looking for bloggers. And we'll get to that graphic here in just a moment. It says the Yellow Vest of America are looking for bloggers. It says, if you have excellent, I can't read those words, they're tiny.
I know.
They're so tiny.
It's a graphic that's really hard to read. There.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll make it. If you have experience writing stories for publication, we could really use your help. As a Yellow Vest blogger, you'll get to write stories on the 2020 presidential election with our full advertising presence at your disposal. We're looking for writers that conduct informative, engaging, and ethical work. Guess what, folks? They got one blog post. And also, this one guy, Obi Alford, he runs everything as far as we can tell. Like, he's the only dude. I don't think they got anybody else. Just the one guy. But you know, and we're going to learn a little bit more about the Yellow Vest today. One thing I can tell you for sure is that the Yellow Vest movement, the idea of it, whether or not people understand what it represented or what the people were doing in France, Antifa in America loves them, as evidenced by the posts of Evan K. Duke on the Yellow Vests. Look how they're trying to make a connection with American violent Antifa and the Yellow Vest movement. I don't know if the Yellow Vest would even appreciate that comparison, but Evan K. Duke III definitely wants you to make it. He posted this on April 21st, which was an independent UK article on the Yellow Vest protesters setting fire to dozens of cars in anger at Notre Dame donations. And he only wrote hashtag no justice, no peace. Remember, this is the same guy that recently was posting about getting armed, was inciting in his posts for people to get involved in violent actions. Right?
Right.
Check out what he posted here on this second post about the Yellow Vests UK. Quote, great scenes yesterday as despite the European government lies that the movement is fizzing out, we are getting bigger and bigger. And it shows a bunch of people with yellow vests in a picture. And it has the Yellow Vests of UK. Then he posts about the Yellow Vest rising up.
Oh, boy.
In this post, he says, Gillette Jean, Yellow Vests rise up. Quote, thousands arrested, hundreds injured, multiple dead. European democracy has shown its true face in the repression of the Yellow Vest movement. And it comes from a page called Morpheus that he shared. Okay. And lastly, I wanted to show you this other post from Evan Duke where he talks about a Ruppley video where they were live in Paris. Hashtag Yellow Vests. So Evan Duke, the founder of this group, loves them, loves them, loves them, loves them. Let's look at a wiki. Let's get some background on these folks. The Yellow Vest wiki says, excuse me. Can you read some of that, Duke?
It's one of those weird graphics they want to come in sideways.
I can see.
The protests began on November 17, 2018 and attracted more than 300,000 people from across France.
This is from a timeline on their wiki, on the Wikipedia. One of the things that I think is really important to focus on here is that by November 21st, casualties had climbed to 585 civilians, 115 police injured, 16 civilians, 3 police severely wounded. I think that the important thing that Evan Duke and violent Antifa here in the United States want to emulate is that violence, is the fires, is the, you know, all of that crazy, radical, violent things that they currently have been doing in the United States as Antifa, and which allows them to paint themselves as this liberation group the way that the Yellow Vests have been seen in Europe, right? And of course, you know, the Yellow Vests used violence. They rioted, right? So if they're not bad, Antifa can't be bad.
I see.
Let's look at this, the casualties. Let's look at the casualties involved. Here are fatalities and injuries for the Yellow Vests from the wiki. As of December 22nd, 2018, there were 10 fatalities, Duke.
Wow.
That were linked to those protests in France.
Okay. That's why I thought it was so violent.
Check out what are the kind of reasons that people had fatalities.
Pedestrian plus car, motorbike plus lorry, car plus HGV, LGV, I'm not sure what that is, tear gas grenades, car, pedestrian, truck, car, truck. Wow. So they're running a bunch of people over. Or they're getting run over.
Or cars were being set on fire because that happened a lot too.
Yep.
Keep reading.
Yeah, by late December, over 1,843 protesters and 1,048 police had been injured. Injuries included tens of facial trauma, jaws or eyes, and caused by the police, non-lethal ammunition. Nicknamed Flashball, despite not being of the type, are supposed to be fired at the legs, not the head, and are accurate enough for this purpose. As of January 14, 2019, 94 had been seriously injured, including 14 monocular blindness, and one person still in a coma had been reported. Wow. That's...
Right. Now, let me tell you who else loves the yellow vests. Antifa, Border Support Network member who has been in Tijuana, terrorizing the citizens of that city, was there with all of the activists that were protesting the police in Viento y Marea. You remember that guy?
Mm-hmm.
The blonde with the translating because he was living in Mexico. What does this post from his page say? And by the way, this wasn't the only post,
mm-hmm.
you know, glamorizing the yellow vest. And behind wow. this man in a yellow vest with his face covered with a mask and goggles, you see two flaming cars.
Yep, definitely. And this is Joshua Nichols.
Yeah, that's Joshua Nichols.
France gained more liberty this week by threatening politicians with guillotines than you ever will by voting. Wow.
What are they advocating for American democracy then? That we should just murder the politicians that we don't agree with?
Yeah, that's kind of what it's saying.
Because they're praising that in the yellow vests.
Mm-hmm.
They got further by threatening people with murder
yeah.
than with democracy.
Exactly. And voting, yep.
I've been showing you how there is a call over and over and over again to compare the Antifa to liberators, to human defenders, but they're no more human defenders than are the human smugglers of Pueblos Sin Fronteras or the crooked lawyers and ethical lawyers of Al Otro Lado. They're not defending human rights when they're putting the very people they claim to be helping in danger. Take a look at this post that came from Our Resistance, a page on which Evan K. Duke III posts frequently. This was one of the posts from that page, although I just have the post itself, not the whole screen capture of the page, so you won't be able to tell. But you can go and check out Our Resistance on your own on Facebook and see.
Mm-hmm.
This came from there. It's a post by William Tester asking, what is to be done about the yellow vest movement in France? And below in the comments, he says, yellow vests are Antifa. And then in parentheticals, he says, okay, some. Some.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to tell you, Duke. What do you think? I mean, he's making the comparison. Other people have made the comparisons. I don't know if yellow vests are Antifa or if just some are Antifa. But again,
well, it looks a lot the same to me. And, you know, it's like, you know, I was following these, what they call themselves before, anarchists, you know, years ago. You know, when we would do different rallies and protests, people would start showing up with masks on their face. And there were people that would tend to burn things, burn newspaper stands and break windows and those sorts of things. And this is a long time ago. This is like, you know, 20 years ago. And when I, you know, started seeing this Antifa movement, so-called movement, because they're supposed to be decentralized, leaderless, and all sort of stuff. But when I saw the yellow vests, I thought, well, they're just, they got a brand, you know, they're all in yellow vests, and they're doing the same sorts of actions that you know, I've seen a lot of Antifa people do in this country. So I automatically made an association. And now it's like there's this debate whether they're even connected or if they're similar, and it's like, just have a look, you know?
I have to say, this messaging is coming from Antifa. They want to don themselves with the mantle of legitimacy, Duke.
Okay.
They want to be seen as liberators, as revolutionaries. They want to be, you know, that's why they're the ones making those comparisons. What are the people here in the United States doing? Those connected to Antifa, they're inciting violence. They're inciting riots. Check out this post. Clearly, they're calling for rioting.
Mm-hmm.
this person at Roderick's Truth, says, do y'all know how Japanese internment ended? Riots.
Hmm.
There was a huge riot in 1942 where police killed a guy, and a riot in 1943 after another internment death. That same year, the case went to the Supreme Court.
Hmm.
Sounds like, I guess the way you fix things is riots.
That's right.
Again, this incitement is coming from Antifa. And check out what else was posted in Our Resistance by a guy named Corey Hernandez. He says, just a reminder and a meme that says, actually, Antifa is good.
Huh.
Antifa is good. For those of you who missed the policy earlier today, The Policy is a new show on 88.1 FM with Raheem Williams and Jamal Omar tonight. Mm-hmm. Today, excuse me. Jamal had Salim,
mm-hmm.
of Salim and Dion from YouTube on the show. It was fantastic. I highly recommend that you check it out if you don't manage to get to hear it playing in the Fargo-Moorhead metro area. Go to kpppfm.com or our YouTube channel and listen to the interview there. This guy, he's from Seattle. He's a citizen journalist who's been really following what Antifa does there. And where he is at in Seattle is a hotbed of that Antifa activity, including Evan K. Duke III, because he's from that neighborhood. So he was giving plenty of reasons, plenty of examples of why Antifa is so dangerous to our democracy, why they're dangerous to have protesting in the streets. And it got me to thinking, what would happen if the patriots and the MAGA hat wearing protesters and the Proud Boys didn't march, didn't show up where Antifa was protesting to counter protest them? What would happen? I think it would put a big wrench in what they're trying to do. What do you think about that, Duke?
Well, it's kind of like the Westboro Baptist Church, that because they need to have the imagery and the coverage to spread their message and utilize the media that's going to actually cover them. So it's like, those of you who aren't familiar with Westboro Baptist Church, that's all they do. They show up and they protest anyone who is who's gay and it says everybody's going to go to hell and all that sort of stuff, and they get attention by the media. And so if people didn't show up to their demonstrations, they would never have a platform to do anything.
And here's the thing. I don't care what American Antifa leaders like Evan Duke and those in the Border Support Network, formerly at Standing Rock, tell you about who their allies are,
mm-hmm.
and how much good they're doing for people of color. The outcomes everywhere of what they do are leading to the exact opposite outcomes that they claim they are working toward. The exact opposite. They say that they want to close down the camps, but the actions of the people that they are working with, that the other Antifa, like the actions of Willem von Spronson, are only going to lead to laws that make protesting more difficult, mm-hmm. in the future, just like the people at Standing Rock did.
Oh, yeah.
They have already been working closely with the human smugglers on both sides of the border that have overfilled our detention facilities and made the conditions there worse than they could possibly be. They are going to make it necessary to fund the border wall and also to ensure that there is an expansion of detention facility openings, of hiring for ICE and Border Patrol. That's all they're insuring. So tell me again how they're the allies of those people. Tell me again how they're actually helping, because I fail to understand. Can you go back to that post where they say Antifa is good? Antifa is good. Our resistance propaganda. You just went right by it. Our resistance propaganda. Antifa is good. That was posted in the our resistance page. If you go down to the comments, please, you'll see they're discussing the senator, Bill Cassidy, and Ted Cruz. And I'll tell you why they're talking about them in a minute. Someone talks about this meme and says, thank you, put in the meme bank. I'm going to use this every time I see anti-fascist bashing. This may become the most useful meme online. And a man named Rod says, yes, people don't like violence. They will be bashed a lot. They, meaning Antifa. That's right, Rod. People do not like violence. Yep. Or people in masks committing those violence with impunity and calling themselves defenders of human rights. Carrie responds to that saying, no fascists, no need for anti-fascism. Go cry to the Nazis, KKK, Proud Boys, and any other name they go by about how much you dislike violence. And then Evan K. Duke posts a picture of a little child dressed up as Antifa with all black clothes on and his face covered and a hood. And she's delicately getting him ready as if he were going to school.
Yep.
But he's actually going to a protest to go, and he's carrying a gas mask in his hand. You see that?
Yep.
He's got one of those Israeli gas masks and a sign that reads, F the police. That's what was posted by Evan K. Duke. And then check out this next post display that was posted by Evan K. Duke. Gives you an insight into his brain. Can you show us that it was posted by Evan Duke? Oh, it got cut off there. Well, this was a post by Evan K. Duke. I don't understand why the top part got cut off. I must have accidentally clipped it. But he posted it saying, can you believe this neo-Nazi scum? There's two people pointing at a guy that's waving a or carrying a Nazi, a flag with a Nazi symbol. Okay. Mm-hmm. And one guy says, can you believe this neo-Nazi scum? I really want to punch him. And the other guy says, nah, we have to protect free speech. The first guy responds, but by flying the Nazi flag, his speech, in quotes, is effectively calling for ethnic cleansing and the death or oppression of millions. The other guy goes, And then he goes on. The second guy responds to him, you're suggesting the symbols he displays are tantamount to incitement, something the U.S. Supreme Court has said is not protected speech. And he says, exactly. They literally represent a call to action. And then below, it says, if you're hoping for a punchline, I apologize for the disappointment. There's nothing at all funny about what Nazis, neo, or otherwise, hope to achieve, which is the dominance of one group above all others, including you, by any means necessary. This is why we must oppose them immediately, unceasingly, and with all the resources available to us, to ensure, to ensure that we do not repeat the mistakes and presumptions that resulted in the last world war. Extremism and fascism are the enemies of justice and a free society. Well, what do you think of that argument? The mere display of that flag is calling for, is a call to action for genocide and violence. Therefore, you can go punch a Nazi. You think that holds up in the law?
No, no. And also it's like, you know, they keep on bringing up fascism, you know, and it's like, is our neo-Nazi problem fascism in this country? You know, is you know, are they controlling anything? You know, and I don't know. It's you know, I'm learning a lot from the stuff you're talking about tonight, because it's like, I see how they're manipulating everything, and they're really easing it in. It's like, you know, it's, all the messaging is all going a certain direction, and then it's like, I hadn't seen this before, so I really thank you for bringing these things up.
Well, this is what an expert had to say in this Washington University in St. Louis article. A Washington University expert says, and he's talking about, explains the First Amendment and the Nazi flag. He's literally taking the reference to what I just showed you, that anti-fascists like Evan Duke are using as moral equivalency for why they can use violence, and explaining why it doesn't hold water. It says, in the wake of the August 12th confrontations between protesters and counter-protesters in Charlottesville, Virginia, some progressives are calling for legal restrictions on display of Nazi flags. These arguments are entirely understandable, but they often misapply First Amendment law, and they suppress free speech values that progressives, more than anyone, should want to defend, said a constitutional law expert at the Washington University in St. Louis. His name is Greg McGarian. He's a professor of law, and he's quoted here saying, a familiar meme in recent days has been the display of the Nazi flag is inherently incitement. That's what that, you know, little stick figure cartoon thing we just looked at, mm-hmm. posted by Evan Duke, is trying to tell us the very same thing. But referring to the neo-Nazi, white supremacists, and others staged at the rally that resulted in counter-protest that ended in skirmishes, arrests, and one death. Quote, the term is important because incitement is a doctrine that exempts certain speech from First Amendment protection. And what that meme Evan Duke used was trying to say is that flying a Nazi flag is an incitement, and therefore it is not protected speech.
Wait, so you can go bash a Nazi then, according to him. He's like, that's
it's
what
not
you,
protected
that's...
speech.
Oh, okay.
That's what he's saying. But this professor of law says otherwise. He says that, however, displaying a Nazi flag without more, without anything else other than just showing it, mm-hmm. doesn't come even close to satisfying the legal test for incitement. Huh. Incitement has a very narrow and precise legal meaning. A statement that the speaker knows or should know is likely to directly cause imminent unlawful action. And you know what? It may sound pretty straightforward, but explaining what and under the law, what would be considered imminent unlawful action depends on, you know, the beholder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to have a different view, because we've seen people flip out because they thought they were being threatened, their lives were being threatened. And when you look at the post on Facebook or social media they were referring to, yeah. you're like,
where is it? Yeah, yeah. How did you draw that out?
How did you draw this conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
So he goes on, displaying a Nazi flag can be incitement, but usually it isn't. In the United States, the vast majority of displays of Nazi flags have not, in fact, caused unlawful action. That's very strong evidence that the display of a Nazi flag without other aggravated circumstance does not amount to incitement.
Hmm.
The First Amendment doctrine that seems to fit the Nazi flag argument better is the true threat exception. A true threat is a statement that a reasonable person, that's another thing that has to be interpreted under the law.
That's right.
What is a reasonable person? But that a reasonable person would perceive as threatening them with injury or death. There's an argument for calling the display of a Nazi flag without more a true threat. But that doctrine is fairly narrow as well. The display has to be directed at a particular person or persons, and the circumstances have to support a reasonable inference of an actual threat. The Supreme Court has held that a cross burning can be punished as a true threat, but only in circumstances where a specific person or persons could reasonably perceive an immediate threat.
Hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
The fear that, for example, a violent political movement will develop over time doesn't fit the true threat doctrine. We could change the First Amendment law to eliminate those barriers of these doctrines that I just shared with you. Europe and Canada, for example, strongly restrict what we colloquially call hate speech, basically speech that demeans another person or group based on identity. But according to this law professor, the U.S. could do that, or we could loosen the incitement or the true threat doctrine. Those aren't really crazy ideas. The European Union, mostly, and Canada have democratic systems that function at least as well as ours do. But making any of those changes would require a massive revision of First Amendment law, either by constitutional amendment or by a sea change in the Supreme Court's sense of the First Amendment.
Hmm.
Such a massive change, Duke, would require diverting a lot of political energy from other causes, and it would also open the door to any number of other changes that progressives might have very good reason to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Protecting the display of the Nazi flag allows harm to happen to free speech, to the First Amendment.
Hmm.
Quote, but trying to shut down such displays, like flying a Nazi flag, does even greater harm and runs greater risks. Progressives sometimes object that free speech protections disproportionately help powerful people. That's right. But that's ultimately a problem about social power, not about speech. It's highly implausible to imagine relaxing First Amendment protections in a way that would defeat the gravity of social power. If we allowed for punishing hate speech, states would prosecute people for being anti-white male or anti-corporate. If we broadened the truth threat exception, police would break up Black Lives Matter marches with complete impunity. We used to have a broader incitement exception, and the victims were anti-war and pro-labor activists. Changing society requires reallocating power, not simply squelching rhetoric.
Hmm.
And reallocating power requires free speech. Free speech didn't just do harm in Charlottesville. It's also doing good, much broader good, in the wake of Charlottesville, as people of good will use their First Amendment rights to condemn and to discredit white supremacy.
Hmm.
So, two things. One, leaders of this anti-fascist movement in the United States and currently of the Border Support Network are promoting a lie that the equivalence of seeing a MAGA hat is tantamount to a swastika. That seeing a march of the Proud Boys is tantamount to a group of Nazis. And that if you see those symbols, it's okay to hurt them, because it's okay to shut them down and shut them up by any means necessary, including violence, because that isn't protected speech. But they're wrong. It's not true. This is the propaganda that they are spreading to justify their actions. And Evan Duke is constantly promoting violence wherever it is happening, here in this post from the riots in Puerto Rico, which you can see obviously are becoming violent and confrontational. There are people that have masks on that are covering their faces with handkerchiefs, facing off against the police. And what does Evan Duke say about it? This is how we do it. Yeah. This is how we do it. Are we paying attention in America? Because this is what you got to do. You got to get in the streets, up in the face of the police, and you got to get violent. That is what Evan Duke proposes. He's the same guy that posted this article from leftvoice.org titled "Hands Off Antifa." You can see this was recently posted, and I'm going to read it to you because I think it's important to learn what the message is, what the propaganda is on the left about why anyone is defending the violent actions of Antifa, the terrorist actions of Antifa, or why anybody would even try to justify it. Because they definitely are trying. They definitely are trying. And it's not just Antifa defending itself. They want Antifa to be synonymous with progressive. You want that, Duke?
Nope.
You want to be labeled as Antifa?
No.
An Antifa lover, defender? Can you defend the actions of Antifa?
Nope.
We know that Evan Duke, that the veterans stand for Standing Rock and the people that came here to Standing Rock, put an innocent woman in jail and left her elderly mother with dementia in a hospital to die. That is what they are capable of. And ever since then, I have seen them fighting in the streets, inciting violence, hurting people, now to include journalists like Andy Ngo. And they want the progressive left, the Democrats, to embrace them, justify them, and align themselves. You and we are the same. Antifa is to progressive and Democrat is to Antifa. Same thing. This was just posted July 28th, just yesterday, by Robert Bolano, with the subhead, "Trump and the right are trying to shut down Antifa, and with it, all resistant to their reactionary agenda. Socialists must fight this attack against the left." Okay. Can you hear right in the head, the subhead, how they are equating Antifa to being the resistance against reactionary agenda on the right?
Mm-hmm.
That they're it. That's it. Nobody else is resisting. Mm-hmm. They're the resistors.
That's right.
Antifa. So if they get rid of Antifa, there is no more opposition to Trump's agenda.
Yeah, I guess.
You believe that?
No. No, because it's co-opting any resistance and saying there's only one methodology that's actually going on. You know, it's dominating the what is the resistance. That's the only resistance, and we need all the progressive everybody to do the same thing. You know, so it's very, very misleading.
It is. and it goes on. Listen, not content with draconian attacks on immigrants, Muslims, trans people, and women, Trump and the right wing in Congress have now set their sights on the left. So, right in the opening sentence, they're equating the attack, the perceived attack on Antifa by labeling them a terrorist organization as an attack on Democrats in total.
I see.
On progressives on the whole. It goes on. This week, Ted Cruz and the pro-Trump Senator Bill Cassidy introduced a resolution to label Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization and called on FBI to investigate the group for supposed criminal activities. Yesterday, Donald Trump retweeted he was considering the resolution, arguing it would make it easier for police to do their job. This is the actual tweet by Trump. It says, consideration is being given to declaring Antifa the gutless radical left wacko jobs who go around hitting only non-fighters, people over the heads with baseball bats, a major organization of terror along with MS-13 and others, would make it easier for police to do their job. I don't know. I think there are a lot of things in this article that are discussed about what this resolution would really do. But even in the article here, it says that it would be largely symbolic. It really wouldn't change existing laws, right?
Yeah.
But yet, they argue it would have a chilling effect on the entire left. Again, all Democrats would be affected if Antifa, who have acted like a terrorist organization, were to be labeled as such. God forbid that they actually be punished for what they're doing.
Yeah.
It says, we should defend Antifa against this attack and all attacks from the right with every resource at our disposal. Antifa, short for anti-fascist, is a collective of activists tracing its history back to the anti-fascist actions and relegating groupings in Nazi-era Germany. The modern iteration of Antifa began in the 1970s and 80s, but the collective has grown dramatically since the election of Trump in 2016. Nay, I would say that is really where it had its nexus here in the U.S. in recent memory. It literally began at Standing Rock. I hadn't been hearing about anti-fascists doing jack squat until Standing Rock was happening. And we had anti-fascist leader Evan K. Duke and many others there at Standing Rock. And what happened right after that? Do you remember? It says the collective grew dramatically and its members primarily adhered to anarchism, although activists of other political traditions do take part. It mobilized during the Trump inauguration.
Oh.
And it has disrupted several white right-wing rallies and demonstrations. You know who was the head of the Occupy inauguration events they're talking about, which turned some turned even violent? Do you know who was there at the head of it?
Yep.
Well, it was Evan K. Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Here is an email. You don't have it on your end, Duke. I've shared it before on my shows. It was an email sent by Evan K. Duke III on January 20th. Endorsement of January 20th Occupy inauguration event. Remember, folks, in this article, it's talking about how the Antifa movement mobilized during Trump's inauguration and disrupted several right-wing rallies and demonstrations. Then they began making national headlines after several bloody confrontations with right-wing groups in cities like Berkeley and Charlottesville. You remember all that?
Mm-hmm.
In the latter city of Charlottesville, they brutally murdered activist Heather Heyer and injured 19 others. Guess what? Activists from Standing Rock were the ones involved in Charlottesville. Remember I told you that here on A Mexican Crossing Lines?
Oh, yeah.
That people that were protesting at Standing Rock were called to go punch Nazis in Charlottesville, and I couldn't. It was a head scratcher for me, using the platforms for water protectors to call people to Charlottesville, to put people in danger's way. And I remember at the time, I even told some of those activists, some of whom were taking youth with them, don't go there. Good thing I said that because somebody ended up dead. Turns out, although this was never said, all of the first responders around Heather Heyer before she died were from Standing Rock, were Standing Rock street medics. And Heather Heyer had been to Standing Rock as well. But they didn't tell you that. Also, the person in charge of the other thing, the Antifa led Occupy inauguration, was none other than Evan K. Duke III. In this email, he says, "Dear members of the interim committee, somebody responded, I agree with Carrot. Also, I oppose the move to amend. We don't need a constitutional amendment to scrap Citizens United. We need a new centrist member on the Supreme Court." Another person had stated, "I disagree with strategy at the bottom. If Clinton is elected, allow 100 days to implement the progressive agenda. Why not say same to Trump? And why not say the same to Trump? Just as likely to happen. Peace." So this is what was sent. "Dear members of the interim committee, I have previously asked for feedback on the requests forwarded to us through David Cobb of Real Progressives to endorse the event described below. The event is run by Evan K. Duke. I only heard back from Charlie Jordan, who had several questions I am not in position to answer. Accordingly, I am formally putting the IC, the interim committee, the question whether we should endorse this event. And I am including below the contact information of an organizer who should be in a position to answer any questions you may have." That organizer, this was written by Sid Smith, but the organizer and this event are all the work of Evan Duke. "Hello, my name is Evan Duke with Occupy Inauguration Planning Committee. How did this guy end up the leader of the Border Support Network, the security for Tulsi Gabbard at Standing Rock, one of the people working closely with Wesley Clark Jr., and Michael A. Wood Jr. of the Veterans Stand for Standing Rock? How did he end, this felon, this violent felon, who, by the way, incidentally, is friends with Chelsea Lyons Kent, Jordan Sheridan's ex-girlfriend and co-rapist of Carly Hammond." And it goes on to talk about how he wants an endorsement and all of the people that they are currently endorsing and working with Evan K. Duke on this event. And they are, and I think it's worth reading the list: Occupy Wall Street, Code Pink, Socialist Alternative, Progressive Independent Party, United Progressive Coalition, Move to Amend, Revolt Against Plutocracy, Veterans Party of America, Demand Universal Healthcare, Equity Coalition, Digital Smoke Signals, Real Progressives, National Bernie Delegate Speaking Panel, Indigenous Environmental Network, Veterans for Peace, Roots Action, Socialist City Council Woman Kishma Sawart, Native American Activist Winona LaDuke, Law Professor and former Florida Congressional Candidate Tim Canova, Move to Amend National Spokesperson and Stein Baraka 2017 Campaign Manager David Cobb, and Lakota elder and activist Phyllis Young. Yeah.
Yep.
You're listening to 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And what were they demanding? Free, scrap TPP, pass federal $15 an hour minimum wage, free college education, cancel student debt, support of constitutional amendment to abolish all corporate constitutional rights, money equals free speech, and Medicare for all, end to institutional racism, police brutality, no federal funding for militarization of police, end to the racist drug war, halting construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline, honoring the treaties of all indigenous people, and the release of all political prisoners, including Peltier, Snowden, Manning. And it says, list to be built. They want more people freed. All of this signed off by Evan K. Duke III. And this is what the article, these are the people, these are directly the people this article is seeking to justify and defend. It says here in the article, this isn't the first time Antifa has been targeted. The Trump administration attempted to convict close to 200 activists, including Antifa members, that protested, that demonstrated during his inauguration. Why, that would be Evan Duke. Mm-hmm. Although the attempt failed and all charges were dropped. And North Dakota. Because they passed an anti-mask law in 2017 aimed at left-wing activists and Antifa because of the protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline.
Yep.
And they cite members of Congress also trying to push federal versions of anti-mask legislation, which have thus far been unsuccessful. You know what all these things have in common? Evan K. Duke III and the mercenary activists, including the Antifa, that were here at Standing Rock, went on to disrupt other construction projects, went to do disaster relief in Houston and Puerto Rico, and that are now bringing you the nightmare at our southern border. That's what they all have in common. Why don't they talk about the fact that Antifa is now working hand in glove with human smugglers, causing the misery and the suffering, the human trafficking of children, of women, partnering with the Tohono O'odham, who have a history of working with the cartels, or Pueblos Sin Fronteras, that has a history of connections to people within the cartels, or the border angels, or the crooked lawyers at Al Otro Lado? Why don't they talk about that and the connection of Antifa to all of that? Asking for a friend. Because it isn't in this article. But of course, it says that, you know, all of this Antifa hating is a trend which, within the context of a racist and anti-immigrant presidential administration in the U.S. And just blame it all on Trump. And the rise of right-wing governments all around the world. All of which have made the persecution of immigrants and minorities their first priority. Trump himself declared on the campaign trail that he would block all Muslims from entering the country. He declared that there were some good people among neo-Nazi groups that marched in Charlottesville. The UK's new Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, has called Muslim women wearing the niqab bank robbers and used the most offensive slurs possible when speaking about black Africans. While tens of thousands of migrants are arrested, locked in cages, starved, and abused, Can anyone tell me what in the hell that has to do with Antifa? Can you?
No.
Do you have any idea? Explain?
No, I can't explain it.
Why are they? I'll tell you why. Because Antifa is deeply involved. Antifa is deeply involved with the exploitation of people seeking asylum. Because they're the ones that helped to organize the caravans and the activists, fueling and funding that non-organic activist, mercenary activist made phenomenon. They're the ones involved in creating the show that was Standing Rock, the protest that resulted in the death of Heather Heyer, and so much more. The Antifa are involved in all of it. But the left is telling you the attacks against Antifa serve another purpose. Repressing the left is primarily a tool for the capitalist class to fight workers' demands for wage increases and improvements in their living conditions. So if you don't let Antifa act with impunity, you won't get your wage, the fair wage. You won't, have the workers' freedoms and demands from workers anymore.
I don't see how that has anything to do with it.
That's what it says here. It says, as long as the workers have no political representation. Did you know that Antifa represented the working class now?
No, I didn't think many of them had jobs.
Oh, God. That was brutal.
That was a joke.
Woo! Get the burnt ointment. Call the ambulance. There has been a horrible death. So anyway, it says here, as long as workers have no political representation, they cannot effectively make their demands heard and are instead forced to choose between the lesser of two pro-business evils. In times of crisis, including the long crisis that began in 2008, but that was under a Barack Obama, the importance tactics for capital is to maintain profitability. Antifa is not the only organization on the left facing increased prosecution. Guess who else is? 18 states where they're proposing laws against pipeline protests. What do you think of that, Duke?
Well, you know what? You've made me think a lot about, as you've been reading this, and because I remember during Standing Rock when they started to try to legislate, and this has been something that's been going on actually through the organizing in the world where they've done actions when groups have caused legislation and restrictions to doing any sorts of protests and the tighten the rules type things, and it's like one of the biggest repercussions that I saw they immediately did in North Dakota was that they tried to make it so you couldn't wear a mask at a protest, but also to pretty much outlaw protesting, and it was like, whoa. And having restrictions to protesting is something that, people in North Dakota have tried with the anti-abortion protesters and different things too. And it's like, this one has been planted a long time ago. And it's also, it's done in a way that you think that they're just stopping people to exercise their constitutional rights and the rights of assembly. But what it's doing is exactly the opposite of that. And it's very interesting that this is happening now, and also that they're at the exposure that they've been doing, because it's been troubling to me as we've covered this to see the violence and the different things that has been going on and being escalated, that they're calling out these soldiers from across the country to do harm to people. And it's like, it's getting really scary. And it's like, so to put it in perspective and some people to start trying to put it in perspective and expose this stuff, I think is really, really valuable.
I want to read this paragraph again, and I want you to listen to it. I want you to hear every single word about what I'm going to read.
All right.
Because they put it all together. The attack isn't just Antifa, right? It's not just Antifa that's getting attacked. It's the 18 states where they're passing proposed laws against pipeline protests. And, according to The Intercept, legislation proposed by the Trump administration, which would prescribe up to 20 years in prison for inhibiting the operation of an oil or gas pipeline. Plus, the people in Hawaii, Duke, where more than 30 activists were jailed for fighting against the construction of a NASA telescope on indigenous land, not to mention the heavily militarized police responses to demonstrations around police killings in black communities like Michael Brown in Ferguson. In one paragraph, they managed to put together all of these things, which have been peppered by Antifa for sure, where Antifa has been present, but which in no way represent the left.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you telling me that all black communities and people of color are aligned with Antifa, that all Democrats, that all progressives are, that Black Lives Matter is in bed with Antifa? Are you telling me that all indigenous people are Antifa or Antifa-like? They are represented by them, now the working class too?
Yeah.
That's what they're trying to say here. I think it's a load of hogwash. He says, it goes on, the courageous young people of Antifa, I think they spelled terrorist wrong. There's a typo. Have helped to bring national attention to the rights rise and have stood up to reactionary attacks on women, immigrants, and people of color. I'm going to stop right there and call BS. Excuse me, but do not pee on my head and tell me it's raining. Antifa talks a lot of talk, but what they bring is violence. What they help is exploitation of vulnerable people. What they did at Standing Rock and helped do to an indigenous Oglala Lakota woman and her mom was disgusting. What they continue to do while painting themselves with the mantle of good people is beyond disgusting. They do not. They speak about how they're the allies, but they're just radical, violent exploiters. It says, if you believe in ending oppression and exploitation, you should be ready to defend Antifa from political attacks, both in Washington and outside. I disagree. If you are a progressive and you are within earshot of my voice, do your homework about who is in Antifa. I have been a lifelong Democrat. I do not want to be associated with the likes of Evan K. Duke III or any of his Antifa followers. If you've seen these people up close and personally, like I have, like Duke has, like unfortunately the people of Tijuana have had to suffer, you would not say, oh, there's a Democrat. That's a progressive. This is who represents the left. Excuse me, I'm sorry. No. Just no. What do you think?
I totally agree. I totally agree. You know, that that they're trying to take over the whole left and make it their radical movement and, you know, doing a lot of propaganda. And being, as you're showing, suckering a lot of people into believing it, you know. And they've been at it for a long time. I mean, even the legislation type thing, I wouldn't be surprised if they're behind so many things that they're are going to show up. The more people start exposing them, we're going to start getting to the underbelly of them and really showing what harm they've been doing and what they've been setting up for a long time.
I have a prediction to make about how Antifa will cannibalize the Democratic Party. And if that's what Democrats and liberals are into these days, shooting yourselves in the political feet and giving more power to the GOP and guaranteeing a win for Trump in 2020, then have at it. You didn't listen during the 2016 election. I doubt that you'll listen now, but whatevs. Meanwhile, Bill Cassidy tweeted he's going to propose a bill. Y'all, this is the true source of where it comes from. He was the one that said they needed to be classified, tweeting, Antifa are terrorists, violent, masked bullies who fight fascism, in quotes, with actual fascism. protected by liberal privilege. With bullies, they get their way till someone says no. There must be courage, not cowardice, from the elected officials who allow violence against the innocent. I need to get a hold of Senator Bill Cassidy and tell him what else they're into.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're also hurting migrants. They're also hurting Mexicans. They're also making vulnerable people. They're going to hurt the politics with regard to immigration for a decade to come or more.
Wow.
Bill Cassidy, if you're listening, there's a lot of other reasons to classify them as a terrorist organization. And he also tweeted this. I will be introducing a resolution to the U.S. Senate calling for designation of Antifa as a domestic terrorist organization and condemning their violent attacks against journalist Andy Ngo at ICE.gov, employees, and others. Hashtag Antifa is a terrorist organization. And guess what? Remember what Sean King had to say? Oh, here's an excerpt from the Cassidy Cruz Antifa proposed bill or resolution. Can you read that one, Duke?
I can try.
Or is it too small for you?
It's very small, but I'll try. Cassidy Cruz, Antifa is a domestic terrorist organization. U.S. Senators Bill Cassidy and Ted Cruz today introduced a resolution to the U.S. condemning the violent acts carried out by the members of Antifa and calling for the designation of the group as a domestic terrorist organization. Here's a quote. Antifa are terrorists, violent mass bullies who fight fascism with actual fascism protected by liberal privilege, said Dr. Cassidy. Bullies get their way until someone says no. Elected officials must have courage, not cowardice, to prevent terror, end quote. Another quote. Antifa is a terrorist organization composed of hateful, intolerant radicals who pursue their extreme agenda through aggressive violence, said Senator Cruz. Time and time again, their actions have demonstrated that their central purpose is to inflict harm on those who oppose their views. Like any terrorist organization, they chose to pursue political ends through violence, fear, and intimidation. They must be stopped. I am proud to introduce a resolution with Senator Cassidy to properly identify what Antifa are, domestic terrorists.
You know what else they do? They help organize groups like the Border Support Network that are working with smuggling operations to bring people into our country illegally. They also give bad legal advice in Mexico without a license, along with the Crooked Lawyers Group, Al Otro Lado. They also give drugs to the migrants. They also kidnap unaccompanied minors and so many other things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that doesn't matter. Oh, they also apparently now try to blow up propane tanks on buildings of detention facilities filled with migrants, because that's going to help the migrants, right?
Mm.
Like Willem von Spronson, lauded by Sean King as a martyr. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Remember he tweeted this and said, what did he say, Duke? Willem Spronson just became the first martyr.
Attempting to liberate imprisoned refugees from a for-profit detention center in Tacoma, Washington. This hero was John Brown, the white abolitionist who led the raid on Harper's Ferry in 1859. This is what our country has come to.
Well, let me tell you, I will share a Breitbart article with my audience in which it says he took it down, that tweet specifically.
Oh.
It's gone. It's not there no more. I'll share this Breitbart article with you about Sean King deleting his praise of martyr Willem von Spronson, is his beautiful ICE manifesto. But guess what? Apparently, not only did he leave it up on Facebook, he also left it up on his Instagram account. I'm really not sure why he took it down from Twitter. Here it is from his his Facebook account, you can see he still says, this is still up there. I got this today. Mm-hmm. We are told that this is the final letter of Will Von Sponsen, a martyr who was shot and killed by law enforcement as he attempted to destroy vehicles and more. Oh, you know what the "and more" part is? When he tried to blow a propane tank on the detention center filled with migrants.
Exactly.
That was the "and more" part. And then it goes on to say, and more, at a for-profit refugee detention center in Tacoma, Washington. It's beautiful, painful, devastating letter. Willem wasn't crazy. Inaction is. That's still up on his Facebook. And it's on his Instagram, too. The very same words and picture he tweeted, which he deleted. But for some reason, he did remove it. What do you think? Why do you think he removed it from Twitter? And also, why do you think he didn't remove it from anywhere else? What are your thoughts on that, Duke?
One, he's sloppy. You know, because if you're going to start deleting, it's a false, he's deleting it because he kind of, he's been checking the direction of where the wind's blowing right now, too. And he was one of the prominent people that was promoting this person as a hero and a martyr. And there's a lot of people objecting. A lot of people are investigating and saying a lot more about it. He wanted to get the heck out of the way and to try to salvage what's left of his relationship, you know, what's left of his professionalism. But also, the only thing I can think of is that he's sloppy that he wouldn't delete it from both or do an explanation or do a retraction and those sorts of things. It's just deleting stuff. It's like you're scared and you're kind of running away.
Maybe I was raised too much in the Catholic religion to think of martyrs as other than the ones that you see in all the churches that we went to in Mexico that died.
They become saints, you know?
And yeah, they're equated with being saints, right?
Yep.
When I think of a martyr, I think of the saints, right?
Yep.
And I also think of, you know, the popes, the religious leaders, and people usually who died for their religious beliefs. People that died for their, to be witnesses to their faith, right?
Right.
I don't, I'm not, you know, trying to parse edges here on the word martyr. I guess some martyrs, like, you know, the terrorists of the Taliban or others that die, they're considered martyrs by their followers because they died for, I don't know, the fight,
I guess,
the battle, their belief. And I guess it does have religious ties, right? Because they're Muslim. But here's the thing. I just really don't think that, I think he went overboard when he used that word. I think he, you know, screwed the pooch on that one. He shouldn't have used the word martyr. And he got right out there right away. He was not shy about calling him a martyr. Like, he was raring to go to jump on that bandwagon. And then he was looking around going, right? Everybody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody was talking back to him. He was on his own.
Saying, good job. No. He's like, uh-oh.
Right. Guess who else is going, uh-oh? The Squad. You know who the Squad is, right? The Squad are the Democratic Socialists of America,
The
Young Turks.
Yeah, okay, the Squad, the Squabs, yes.
The Squad is Rashida Tlaib, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, and Ayanna Pressley, I believe. That's the Squad, the Squad. And check out this article in Newsbusters. They still, remember that video I showed you where they were catching her in the hallway and said, are you going to denounce that
attack.
Will Von Sponsen blowing up a car and trying to blow up a building with migrants inside, like the ones you just visited in the border? If you didn't like the conditions in the building you were in, how would it be for one to be on fire? You can condemn that, can't you, AOC? And she's like, I don't have a statement now. I will be giving you a statement later. She still hasn't and neither have these other people in the squad. Still, no condemnation of Antifa terrorism. I wonder why. Because you know that a lot of the Antifa leadership in the Border Support Network, with which the Indigenous Environmental Network and all of these Indigenous organizations and AOC, who was at Standing Rock, remember that was her origin story. She went to an all-woman sweat, and after she came out of the wigwam, she had an epiphany. I'm going to plan the Green New Deal and run for Congress.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it happened. That's where it happened. And so the people that she built her campaign on, with, funded by, working on the Border Support Network and all these other things, are infiltrated, heavily led by Antifa. So she can't speak out against her partners in crime. None of these people can. And you know what? It's not just members of Congress that are failing to address this issue, whether it is because of their complicity with these folks or not. It is also the media that is at fault. Check out some of these headlines. They're literally redonkulous. This one in Truth Out talks about how Ted Cruz's Antifa are terrorists resolution seeks to stifle the left. What do you mean by the left? I read Democrats.
Yep.
I read all progressives. Why are they trying to tell us that Antifa is all progressives? I am not Antifa, but I do consider myself a progressive.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Are progressives, are Democrats, is the left ceding this position? Are they ceding their political party to Antifa, identifying with Antifa as Antifa? Is that what's happening? Look at this Newsweek headline. Also, ridiculous. Trump wants to declare Antifa a terrorist organization, even though right-wing extremists have been more violent. Non sequitur.
Yep.
And also, what in the hell does addressing the violence, the danger of masked thugs attacking people, giving people brain hemorrhages, involving themselves in Mexico now, involving themselves working with all of these other groups and organizations that are part of this international human smuggling operation? Why does Newsweek, it's not even a right wing, it's not Breitbart, it's not.
Yeah, it's Newsweek.
It's Newsweek, America. And they're like, if Trump wants to declare Antifa a terrorist organization, then we have to consider the right-wing extremism, and we can't address this violence. Can't address it.
No.
Can't deal with it.
Don't. Yep. Leave it alone.
Long as there's other, you know, kind of extremism. It's like saying that we can't address the violence and the terrorist activities of Antifa on the left unless there's tit for tat on the right.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard. That's what I am seeing. And the equation of Antifa to the left, as the left, representing the left, the silence on the part of the squad and others to condemn the actions that are clear. The evidence is clear. There is a mountain of it. Antifa are terrorists. That's all I got. Because that's all there is to say about them. And I think these politicians that have aligned themselves, that are exploding the Democratic Party, y'all need to step up to the plate, maybe wipe some of that Antifa off of you. You got a stain on you. Get it off before it's too late. And tell them a Mexican Crossing Lines told you. That's it for tonight, folks. Thanks for being with a Mexican Crossing Lines and your hosts, Cindy Gomez-Shemp
and Duke Gomez-Shemp,
bringing you this program, Antifa Terrorists, on your favorite station, 88.1 FM, KPPPLP, Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Check out that show, The Policy, with the host interviewing Salim. And don't miss our next installment. Good night.